Well, so we have completed the draft of the housing study, and it includes the original needs assessment that was done through collecting input from residents and data from the area and the community, and three working papers that follow. And those three working papers are, and maybe I should back up and just say that we, just to fill in a little background, we received a grant to conduct this housing study in order to, it's in some ways part of our comprehensive plan. It's the housing piece of our comprehensive plan. And we wanted to do a deep dive into housing and figure out what, you know, what our needs were, and also how to shape our policy or take actions to preserve our housing and preserve our community and make sure that we have housing that fits all, that is suitable to all the different community members, people who live and want to live in Philmont, and so we don't have any impediments to, you know, people who want to live here, living here, and so we have, you know, workers for our school, you know, workers for the jobs here, and farmers have places to stay, our kids have places to stay, and don't have to leave the community because they can't find housing. So that was the motivation for doing the housing study, and now the housing study is complete, and that is these four documents that I mentioned. One is the housing needs assessment. It studied, you know, who's here and what people need. The second is the data analysis and the existing, hold on one sec, I'll just pull something up. I apologize for not having this ready. For looking at like regulatory analysis, like looking at the, you know, our zoning laws and local laws and what's happening in the county that are in place now. And then there is basically the policy framework, which are suggested actions that we could take to address the needs that were discovered in the needs assessment, and based on the needs assessment and the regulatory analysis. And the fourth document is the implementation plan. And so that takes, you know, I think there were like five action plans that were recommended. And so you can pair those action plans to the implementation plan in the fourth document. And that provides very specific information about how to implement that action. And also references to other communities that have perhaps implemented that action to protect, to take that housing, you know, step. So lastly, we also have our consultant, Kevin Dworka, provided a one-page analysis in response to the request by the board that kind of summarizes the policy recommendations. And those are five preliminary housing policies and associated actions that have been drafted for our consideration as part of the forthcoming update to the Philmont comprehensive plan. So what we're trying to do today is get any feedback from you who are here on that housing study, if you've had a chance to look at it, or answer any questions that you have about it.
This is all on the village website, correct?
Yes, all these documents can be found on the village website under, I think there's a link Yeah, it says Philmont, you know, Philmont Housing Study, and if you click on that link, you can access all of the documentation. It's one, those four documents that I told you about, those four working papers, are all combined into one single document, and you can access that on the village website. And I think there is also possibly a quick link at the bottom. Yeah, under municipal projects, there's a link to housing study, and you can see that there. So if, you know, we have, what time is it? You have a little time. If you're interested, I could read the recommended policy actions, if you're interested, since you're here. The first policy is to preserve Philmont's residential neighborhoods, view corridors, and open spaces. And to do that, it's recommended to maintain low-density zoning in neighborhoods, maximize protection of open space, encourage historic preservation of existing buildings, and regulate short-term rentals. The second recommended policy is to increase the supply of rental housing. It's true that we have, we're a village with a lot of rental housing, but as the housing situation changes and properties are bought up and renovated, those prices are going to increase. And so the idea is to balance that out with additional, supply of rental housing. And another way of also of doing that, which some residents are already implementing, is accessory dwellings. And there's a county program that is supporting the building of accessory dwelling units, in part to increase the housing supply in the area. Third policy is to expand opportunities for affordable home ownership. And fourth is to improve the existing housing conditions. And the fifth is to incentivize wider variety of housing units. It's a really great study. The one that's, and it's very readable. The document that's on the website now is in draft form. The final version will be up December 2nd. And we've, you know, all of us have given our feedback and asked for some additional information and research and changes. So if you're interested in viewing the final version, it'll be up after December 2nd. And then it will be submitted for adoption with the comprehensive plan in the early part of 2025.
Okay, anything that you're reading hasn't been adopted yet. It's not, we haven't actually sat down. Mr. Benson's gonna go through them, and he's headed up a committee for reworking our zoning laws, reviewing them, however you wanna put it. After all that takes place, and then after the comprehensive plan gets done, we'll sit down with everybody and we'll go over all the suggestions made and figure out which ones we're gonna keep and which ones we're not. But there's nothing set in stone yet. This is just all information for you guys to have. And Deborah's done a lot of work on it, so I have to congratulate her for that.
Thank you.
It's a good plan, too. It leaves us a lot of room to discuss and argue and decide what we like, and that's what's great about it. So
I mean, we all have different opinions.
Yeah.
I saw things differently in some spots,
yeah,
and Jason did, and I saw some, you know. But between everybody getting together, I think we'll come up with something good when we're all done, I hope, Mr. Benson.
Robin Andrews is not here tonight, but she was very involved in this process as well. And, you know, one thing I just want to say is that we got a consultant, Kevin Dorka LLC, which I think he really did us a great service. And his team, it's a small team of people who have known each other for a long time, and they work very closely together. And they're all part of the Pace Land Use Law Center, and I think we got a really high quality product that was responsive to us.
That's true.
And Philmont. Was a success. Yeah.
So just a question about the process. I have actually two questions. So if you want to put your comments in writing, is there a place on the website to do
just
that?
Just send them to the clerk. Send your comments to the clerk and, you know, put Philmont Housing Study in the subject line.
And then the second part of the question is, what once then the final document comes out, that is to influence policy, in addition to the zoning plan?
Kind of sort of both. There are some zoning issues in the, and there are some policy issues in it. Policy issues, for instance, are there was a comment in there about tax incentives. So that would be a policy issue. Zoning incentives are the auxiliary dwelling units that everybody seems to be trying to push now. So that's what I said, between everybody getting together, once this is all done, we should come out with a good product. It's not going to be a short-term thing. It's going to be longer-term than anything else. But we'll come out with a good product. Hopefully it benefits Philmont.
Okay, and just one of the issues is enforcement, even of existing codes.
Yeah.
So.
And that is in the report.
Yeah. Okay.
As one of the things that we can do to improve the housing conditions here in Philmont.
Mr. Byrne, any more questions or comments on the public hearing? Any motion to close the public hearing?
Motion to close the meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Let me go get the other two.
When's the next zoning meeting going to be? You guys have to do
it. Second.
Yeah, they have.
Who's the second Thursday of the month?
Yeah, so it's going to be six, probably a year, right?
We don't really have anything to.
Yeah, but we will now. Yeah, who's scheduling them at this time? Who's scheduling the meetings? Or who's deciding we're going to have a meeting? That's my question.
Of the zoning board?
Yeah.
Well, the zoning board itself is not involved in this.
Okay. So zoning's not going to be over this.
Oh, this is the only zoning oversight committee.
Don't worry. I can trust her. I'm a big boy.
Can you?
Stop it.
Okay, it's the game.
Keep your hands up here. I'm married.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Good, that's good to know. Cool. Great.
Okay. Is that this fine?
No.
Where's the November?
That's how
they got down there. Where's
our boy tonight?
Oh, he's
right here. Yeah, monthly.
All right, now that the public hearing is over, we're going to call the meeting to order. And I need a motion to approve the minutes from the October 15th board meeting.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Motion to approve the budget to actual reports for the month of October.
On motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Motion to approve the payment of bills from the October 15th, October 29th, and November 12th abstracts.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Public comments. Denise. Yep.
I don't know how to do this. Do I just stand up and...
Yep, stand up and say what you got to say.
So good evening, everyone. I'm here tonight to request added even parking on lower property.
Stuart, you're gonna have to speak up, I'm.
Sorry, I'm not a good speaker.
Come up here, come up. Okay.
Good evening, everyone. I'm here tonight to request uneven parking on Lower Prospect, and on Lower Prospect, I refer to from the church, 49 Prospect, one-way street, and then I believe it's Hand Street, is it? That goes down, back down to the post office. So Upper Prospect, I refer to.
Okay.
Cumberland Farms.
Okay.
Lower Prospect from the church on. On Lower Prospect from the church to the one-way street. Same that's in place for Upper Prospect. I have lived in the village for 8 years. 7 years of that was at 35 Prospect. When I first moved to the village at 35 Prospect, there was no parking on the street from December 1st to April 1st. We then were allowed to park odd and even. This was a huge convenience as we didn't have to park at the ball field or strategically line cars and driveway. I'm asking that Lower Prospect can enforce the same plan, odd and even parking. My main concerns are for the distance to the ball field in case of emergencies in the middle of the night. There is not enough driveway space for all the residents on Prospect. For myself, I am a home health aide. If emergency arises with one of my patients, I need to be available immediately. I also have a third grader I drive to school every day. I just hate the thought of her having to walk to the ball field when the weather is cold and snowy. I feel the odd and even parking worked well when I lived at 35 Prospect. I also feel this would help a lot of the residents on Lower Prospect that use roadside as their driveway. I ask that you please consider odd and even parking for all of Prospect. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And we'll discuss that at the next workshop meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Kate?
Yep. So we're as before on what I'm talking about. Okay. Awesome. Thank you. So in this one. So to continue, thank you again for the chance to I and others are continuing to work on drafting a health survey for our community relative to the smart meter rollout in January. We want to do our part, if we can, to carry out this research into public health effects that is up to us to conduct. Why up to us? Because marketing of electronic and wireless radiation emitting devices is allowed without this responsible epidemiological research. The evidence is abundant that these technologies have serious health effects, and we now know how they come about, but the tracking of the impacts for new device rollouts is not done. In drafting a survey, there's a bit of a snag, however. Some homes in our community already have digital meters on them. These here with the rectangular screens. Most of them are the analog meters with the little dials in the spinning disc. I spoke here about the harmful dirty electricity frequencies, DE, in the current that are generated by devices such as these, the digital meters, such as these, which require the power to switch between AC and DC. That's why it's called switching mode power supply. That's what the blocky part of power plugs is doing. But devices such as digital meters, smart or not, generate a lot of DE. In the school studies I spoke about last month, we clearly see that DE impairs health. Again, see the pre-conference talk on DE at the EMF Medical Conference 2021. That's EMF is electromagnetic field. since these digital meters in our community might already be causing symptoms in the people within these homes, the survey would need to identify which meters are already present and which get changed to transmitting meters, so-called smart, whether transmitting one-way or two-way. We have two scenarios, from digital meters to smart meters, and from health-safe analog meters to smart meters. And the two need to be differentiated in the survey. Yet there is another serious issue with these meters, accuracy. As I said, these devices are digital. This means that their activity is not seamless the way it is with the analog, mechanical analog meters with the spinning disc. But it means that their activity is in digital intervals. Many are the complaints about bigger bills after smart meters are installed. What explains this? As professional electrical and mechanical engineer William Bathgate explained in an April 9, 2023 interview, because the recording is not seamless, when lights are switched on and appliances cycle on, like the fridge, or when the smart meter itself transmits data, the short high spike in electric usage that is captured is carried until the next recording as if it lasted that long. This arbitrary digital carryover can result in a lot of usage falsely attributed to the account holder. I have read that LED electronics pose usage recording problems for these meters too, unlike for analog meters. It's never a problem. Bathgate also explained that, quote, the energy that digital meters, including smart meters, need in order to compute and send their frequency signals adds to energy use by about 2.75 kilowatt hours per day. This multiplied by millions of meters wipes out any benefits of using a smart grid. And this can add up to over $120 per year in your individual power bill, end quote. Just one last sentence. For this reason alone, account holders will pay more per year, whether they pay the monthly opt-out fee to keep their healthy, safe analog meter, or they take their chances with the smart meter.
Thank you. Barbara?
Yeah, I just wondered if you had any success with a letter that you were going to write about the if the abandoned property 29
no.
has a mortgage.
I can speak to that a little bit.
Okay.
I went to KeyBank.
Oh.
And KeyBank says it's not their property. Jessica and I just looked up that, and it's still registered as Simpson's property. The taxes were 2 years overdue, $709, but I don't know if we have any contact for whoever this Simpson person is. Correct, Jess?
It wasn't for savings.
Yeah, we don't know. So what I'm saying is I looked into it, but I haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, that's strange.
So KeyBank did not take the property over, even though I guess he wasn't paying the mortgage. So
they won't take the property over because there's a lien on it.
Oh, that's okay. We get to take retention of it after the unpaid taxes, a dollar amount or time period, typically.
I don't know. That would be a Rob question.
Okay. I think it's a time period.
Do you know this Simpson guy?
Which the kid?
Apparently, he owns the property 29 Prospect Street.
Yeah, but the father owned it and he passed. So the kid is kind of in limbo with it, but I think it's still kind of like in an estate deal. So
I had heard that Tim Simpson had stopped paying the mortgage, and his mother inherited it, and she did the same. She paid it for a while, and then she stopped.
The last, when all the junk and everything was down there, when I went down there and had them all clean it all up, there wasn't anything that was out, like super outstanding, I think, when Chrissy looked it up. So, but it was still in some kind of an estate deal. But young Timmy was in jail, so, you know, but he's not, he's like supposed to get the property or whatever, it's somewhere down the line, but none of that's taken effect, so.
That's terrible.
Doesn't sound good, does it, Barbara?
No, that's terrible.
Would you go and visit him in jail?
I think he's out, or if he's not out, he's getting out soon. He's close to getting out.
So he's gonna turn on.
So.
Yeah, but what, there's nothing legally we can do it.
There's nothing that the village can do. I mean, it's.
But at least you'd be able to find out what's actually happening. I mean, I know them from work that they did for PBA, so.
I think he's on the assumption he's taking over the property, the kid. That's the last I heard. That's what he told the young man who was storing all the junk there. And when he gets out, he's gonna take over the property.
And that would be fine, because then we'd have somebody that we could point to, like, hey, you didn't mow the lawn, or the sidewalk's not shoveled. But right now.
And if he sells it, we can get the lien.
And the tires are still there, so.
Those are all his. I mean, the other kid cleaned up everything. I mean, they went in there, I mean, they did a, from what it was to what they did. I mean, they got all the vehicles out of there. I mean, we pretty much, I gave them 72 hours. I babysat them and they got everything out. They started immediately the night that we were down there, so.
So if you see him on the street, can you say, hey, you need to get those tires out of there and go talk to Doug Cropper, he wants to see you.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I mean, honestly, I think legally, I mean, he doesn't own the property, so, I mean, the father's still the one who owns it, and he's deceased.
But at least,
so,
like Barbara said, we could maybe find out what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if
he would tell you, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Barbara, that's
well,
what
thank
I'm,
you.
Bless you.
Can you visit him at the jail? The lawyer?
I don't think so.
Or you?
Again, I mean, that's like me coming to you and saying, your neighbor's got tires. I mean, he doesn't own the property, so I can't make you clean it up. I can't
no,
make him clean it up.
No, but somebody could ask him about the property.
Yeah, I mean, the last that we were told that his intentions are he's taking over that property. Whatever he's going to do, I don't know. I heard that at one point, I heard he was going to put a camper back there. But so I, you know, like I said, until we actually see something, I mean.
With regard to the zoning, as we were talking about before, can someone just put a camper on a lot of land and just hook it up and because I know there was the situation with someone just living in that shed back there.
No, there was a camper there, so we had to remove that. It was a camper. He was living in a camper.
Okay.
So, yeah, the camper was removed as well.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
Okay. So someone can't just, like, put a tent on there and call it a house.
No, I mean, but if they camp on a weekend, I mean, it's just like you camping in your backyard.
Sure,
and
sure.
The village can't come in and just say, hey, you can't sleep in a tent in your backyard.
Sure.
And that's, I mean, if they own the property, I mean, that's, you know, again.
That's what I'm just wondering.
Yeah,
unless he takes it over and he wants to build a house on it, that's a different
story. Yeah. I mean, that's.
Or you can keep it vacant, too, as long as he maintains it and pays the tax.
Right,
sure.
Right.
Just curious.
Yeah, never put a house on there.
Well, my biggest hope is that when it changes from the father to the son, that the lien gets caught, and then
right.
Because I don't know how legally how you transfer a lien. I don't know how you do that, but I'm assuming that if he went to sell the piece of property, the lien would have to be satisfied first.
Right.
Yeah. So. When the property transfers, I'm assuming the lien's got to be satisfied in order for it to transfer.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Well, that's my hope.
I say it's fine.
But that lien is a lot of money.
$40,000.
Yeah.
Ooh.
He's not gonna come up with that, you know that.
Absolutely.
He'll sell it.
So then, we can have it.
It's $40,709.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was over $40,000 to take that house down.
So we didn't forget about you.
No, we did not.
Thank you, appreciate that.
Kristen?
And also the house on Church Street, any updates perhaps?
No.
Yeah, I figured that's gonna be a deeper, longer conversation, but if I do some more, can I tell you if I find out any information?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Rob's the county attorney, so he's got a leg up on that.
Okay. But thank you.
We keep asking.
I appreciate it. I got four raccoons flying over my fence yesterday, so.
Mrs. Ball, she's still living.
She's up in Pine Haven, I believe, yeah.
So it's probably the same, almost the same situation as the other property.
I understand it's under the sun. Or whatever.
All right. Jessica?
Certified letters for delinquent water and sewer users will be mailed tomorrow. We've had quite a few property closings this month requiring tax searches and final reading and bills. Worked on a Forest Lake information research. Worked with Mark Beaumont to update the New York State Volunteer Firefighter Cancer Benefit Program roster. Worked with Deborah, get the public hearing ad placed. The CEO job posting, received resumes and scheduled interviews. We've had crazy amount of number of death certificates and certified copy in the last 6 months. Compiled vacant parcel data for Colby County 911, started the budget for 2025, making sub-accounts for more transparency and accuracy. Worked with the library director on email storage issues. Placed a chemical order for the sewer plant. We had an insane amount of election questions and people coming in trying to early vote at the office, so that was a lot. We'll be closed on November 28th and 29th for Thanksgiving. There will be no workshop on the 27th. I'm going to aim for the abstracts together on the 25th. I'll let you guys know when they're ready so you can just swing in and sign them for me.
Rain?
Hi. So we had some heating issues. Dave Bull of Ice came and resolved it. It was just turned off. And we now have hot water, which apparently we didn't have for 8 years. We'll figure. Doug came and had a look at our parking lot options for lighting. And we also, meanwhile, did a couple of tests and dug one of the, it's actually working, that little light that you were saying we could just reprogram. I found another switch that actually leaves it on. So that seems to be working. The shifting of books throughout the library to make the children's room feel twice as big is finished. So we didn't have to add on or do anything. It's twice as big. Our gentle chair yoga has been really successful. We have regulars, 4 to 6 people every week, all seniors. Our senior grant to pay for that. And Stephanie Gaylord from Chatham is wonderful. Art class with Amelia continues to draw 10 to 12 kids every week. We had a little Halloween party that gave us 29 kids, and we had a secret storyteller come. We had a program on bats. Let's see. I've been asked to join the Clovert USA going to use our cultural center for meetings. A lot of that is AA. They love using our space because people can walk to the meetings. And we've had seven new library card holders.
Nice job. Thank you very much. Community center. Oh.
Okay, I have Mrs. Arnese's report for October. Under facility, the center has been checked during the month. Oil was purchased and the heat pump will be serviced. Eric can say when they're gonna come? Might have to follow up. The heat pump in the library's program. Programs, Columbia Green Addiction Coalition was held a very informative program on October 10th to raise awareness and educate about addiction. Narcan kits were received, refreshments were provided, and she thanks Trustee Skidman and me for attending. Scouts are meeting at the center. Amelia McIsaac is doing 3 workshops in November, Shadow Puppets, on November 6, 13, 20, and December 4 and 11. Felt hats on November 16th and 23rd, and mending on November 10th and 17th. Flyers were created and posted. Big Truck Day was held on November 2nd from 11 to 1. Approximately 50 adults and children attended. The children had a great time seeing the big trucks and watching demonstrations. They also liked the playground equipment. She said that I planned and organized the event. Well, Skip helped a great deal with that too. We served some refreshments and lunch. She thanks Skip Speed and Speed's Garage, SDS Contracting, Milling and Excavating, Harrington's, Old Time Power Association, and the Village of Philmont, the DPW guys. And there's a few pictures here of Big Truck Day in case you missed it. That's it.
We had 17 calls for service, 1 arrest, 103 property checks, 3 tickets issued, 5 warnings, and no parking tickets, but we are coming into the season that we'll have to start just putting the posts up just to, you know, get people back into the...
Chris and actually really like just talking about that today, start sharing.
Yeah, let's just start putting that on there about the, you know, the parking laws, and just to get people...
Okay.
Acclimated and thinking about the winter months.
What happened in September? There were so many VNT warnings.
Oh, I don't know if this one is for me.
Oh, the, sorry, you don't have this.
I have October. Oh. September's is in there. That was a leftover one. So it could have just very well been just amount of times that we're in there. There's just, you know, issuing, you know warnings just for. A lot of times, what happens when you start getting into like the cooler weather, people's headlights and taillights are just they just start. You know, going out just because of the colder weather, things like that. So you just kind of let people know, make them aware.
Cool.
Instead of writing them a ticket, just, you know, hey, ticket lights are out. So so it's generally a little, you know, this time of year, September, October, could be a lot more warnings.
Good.
So
that's just
the right tickets.
Great.
Sally?
Good evening. So the BOA updates, we actually had 2 meetings in October. We had a meeting in the first week of October, which was the final presentation of the Rice and Lipka designs for the community centre and the Canal Street parking lot. It was full of board committee, BOA committee attendance and guests. Attendance by Trustee Gideman. It was a great meeting. Lynn Rice walked the meeting through the final set of project materials, maps, elevations, and rendering, and also walked through the cost estimates very carefully and meticulously, and answered any questions. The mayor had a few questions, and there are a couple of other questions, and they were satisfactorily answered. And generally, at the end of the meeting, everybody felt very positive about the product that Bryce and Lipka produced and the designs. And Mayor Johnson said, actually, he couldn't find one single fault with the designs, which was pretty good to do that.
We then had a meeting later in the month, 22nd of October, and that was a meeting that Barbara Segal was at, Mayor Johnson, Bob McFarlane and myself. It wasn't a full committee meeting, we didn't do an agenda. We were just kind of doing a round robin to see how, you know, where we were with the Rice and Liquor presentation coming up, looking at the flyer, that's all going to happen on Friday in the library. So it was a sort of touch-based meeting, and then just kind of getting ourselves orientated to, okay, we're moving ahead with these two sites and the zoning project, and then we're going to be moving into developing funding for both of those sites. So it was a very general conversation about that. The RFP for the zoning analysis was approved by the DOS. Steve knows that. So we're now ready to publish. Obviously last week was impossible because of the election, and this week is fairly busy because of the Rice and Liquor and all the things that have to get done for that. But hopefully Jessica and I can be in contact tomorrow and we'll fill in the dates. And kind of got to work out when to release that RFP because we've got Thanksgiving coming up. So I'm going to coordinate with you so that we get dates, to give the bids enough time on the state contractor, but then enough time that we don't get caught up in the Thanksgiving offer. Right, so I imagine we end up somewhere in the third week in December reviewing. Right, that's what I think will happen. We'll see tomorrow on those dates. LWRP, which is the watershed planning project, and we are meeting on the 11th of December. That will be first WAC meeting, which is the Watershed Advisory Committee, with all the participating towns that we've had. Believe it or not, it's going back to April. So it will be an interesting meeting to have, a lot to catch up for the Novella Associates on that. But it should be a good meeting, as they will have finished a big chunk of the plan, which is the description and assessment of water bodies and watershed resources, and it is dense. And it's, the 621 maps, it's a big chunk of work, so everybody should feel okay that it's taken this length of time to do. And then last piece of the report is historic district. We've had our first property owner who has just bought a multifamily on Main Street and intends to do, contacted us for assistance with, contacted PBN for assistance with the income producing preservation tax credit, which is 50% of eligible construction costs. This is what we want to see. We want to see all the landlords use this. So that'll be interesting to see. It will be the first building, the historic district was approved in March of this year. This will now be our 10th property owner that we've assisted. And there are other property owners that are using the tax credits, but they're doing it under their own steam and not assisting us. So I would say that's a really good kick-off, start of using these. And if we can get our landlords to actually access, think about that, it's 50% of the renovation costs. It's a lot, so there should be no reason that, landlord and multi-families and rentals, can't be afforded, to be renovated. So that's a huge assistance. So it's kind of exciting. I'm going to see the first one. And she intends to, it's a big multi-family. And it has already been renovated once, a couple of years ago. These buildings take 2 to 3 times a flipping ownership to get them looking great. We've seen that. That's a pattern that we've seen over the last 15 years. That's it.
Was it Janice?
That's a question.
Was it Janice that reached out to you?
Say again?
Was it Janice?
Yeah.
What was
I told her to.
Yes. Yeah, actually, you told her to contact her. Yes, several people did. So it was, good conversation. She's very happy, moving that along, and then, it helps a lot. So
yeah, she's that very much.
Yeah, and I, you know, it sounds like she's gonna do a terrific donation.
Which house is that?
What?
Which house is, oh, that, we don't talk about that.
No.
Okay. I have two questions. One is, so PB Inc. has been helping people navigate the credit.
Navigating to SHPO. So all you have to do is go onto our website, and it has on the housing district page, landing page, whatever,
mm-hmm.
It's got all of the information. So the first thing that happens, somebody calls us, and then I talk to them, and then I send them the email to go and have a look at that. And it lists all the steps that they have to do. It also outlines the different preservation programs, you know, whether it's an income-producing commercial property or whether it's a home ownership, different percentages, some is fed, some is state. And so it has all of that on the website. And then there's also a link to a really good parks flyer there. So then we go and ask the people, we send that to them, and then we ask them to get back, and then we do a little bit of email back and forward because there might be questions. And then we ask them to go and do what, you know, contact SHPO, and then let us know how it
mm-hmm.
went.
Okay, but they're really doing the work. What I'm getting at here, and I just wonder, like, you know, you mentioned, like, the real boon would be get some of these landlords on Main Street to utilize this opportunity, and I just wonder if there's, you know, I know they receive the flyers and the information like everyone else. I'm just wondering, is there any way we can, you know, PB Inc. or we can reach out to those two landlords that own a lot of the properties on Main Street that are very run down and let them know this is available and it's up to 50% of their properties? I guess that's a question I have.
We do a lot of outreach, Deborah. I don't think any of the landlords in town are not unaware of the preservation tax credits.
Right.
What they want is grant money. They want grant money and tax credits. I've done letters, Deborah.
Yeah, and I've spoken to them too.
And
I've forwarded some to you. I'm not expecting them to do that. I don't think they want to do that much work. And that's why I was asking, like, what kind of work PB Inc. did for the people who are acquiring these, you know, benefits. And it's clear to me from what you're saying that they'd have to do more work than they're willing to do, those landlords, to access the benefits.
You know, that they want to do that, right? But I'm saying they're wanting grant money as well as the tax credits.
Yeah.
So you work out the numbers.
So my second question is, is the December 11th meeting, is there going to be an additional meeting? We talked about, like, having a meeting where we go over the timeline for the LWRP. Is that going to be a separate meeting?
I was trying to get that. There was an email that we've had with DOS on that, and we're trying to get that organized so that we can get two briefings from the DOS. We need two briefings. They haven't come back yet. It got started. I sent an email to Tom, sent an email asking about that. I think I put everybody on that, didn't I?
My request was to meet with the consultant, not DOS. And that's what we discussed at our last meeting, and that's why I sent you an email that was to happen in, can I finish? That was to happen in the beginning of November. And that's why I sent you an email. Because of another thing that I was involved with, I met the consultant, and he was more than willing to meet with us. He made that very clear. That's why I sent you the email.
I understand that. He'll come on to that meeting. There's already been Matthew Rogers, Novella Associates, is who you met. And Matthew and I have a monthly meeting with the DOS. He needs the DOS. He needs Irene Hollack to be, pull in the people that we need to hear from the US to be able to answer questions that are all in that email. So in other words, what I'm saying is it would not be beneficial just to do it with a ballot.
Well, in the meeting you said the obstacle was the consultant.
No, there's no obstacle.
Oh, there isn't, okay.
No, and I
He revealed to me that there was an obstacle on his part. There was something, he had been sick or there were some other things going on. So that's what he told me in that conversation. So he has said he's now on the other side of that and he was willing to present to us so we would know what to talk
about. But under the contract, he's not gonna come in and do a specific meeting with Philmont. He will come in on a meeting with Irene Hollack from the DOS, but we're not gonna have LaBella all to ourselves. It's just the way that the grant is structured. It's an intermunicipal grant that is looking at the watershed, and this is what I explained in the email. You know, it's not about Summit Lake. It's about the watershed.
For Philmont, it's about Summit Lake.
Well, I don't know.
That was that part that we wanted to get information on. We're just trying to get information.
I want to ask you one question to Brian, if you don't mind.
Sorry.
Can we just finish this? We will get the information as I put in the email to you. I will fully descriptive in the email. And we will get the meeting. And LaBella will be part of that meeting. And Irene Hollack from the DOS will be spearheading that meeting. That's how that's going to go. So you're going to get everything that you asked for. No obstacles. There's no obstacles there.
And the date, because I specifically asked for a date. Do we have a date?
No, that's what I said at the beginning, where it's gone out, we're waiting for...
So April, the date will be April or after?
April?
Yeah, you said April. Something's getting delayed until April. Is that the date now? We're just trying to get information out. Just tell us what the date is and who will be presenting.
No, I'm not saying the meeting was delayed since April. The only reference to April was this chunk in the...
When is the date? When is the expected date when Philmont can get the information on how this is progressing since it's been delayed for almost a year or more? So when will Philmont be getting this information? That's the only question on the table.
Yeah.
So the answer to that is we're waiting for Irene Hollack, who is the DOS specialist overseeing it, to hold the conference.
Right, so you've worked with her continuously, so what is your estimate on when that will happen?
We could get a date that it could be the end of November, it could be December. It's happening right now.
So we can't get an answer. Okay, that's all I need to know. We do not have an answer for this problem.
As soon as we have a date, she'll put it out.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
I mean, it's in motion.
Yeah, correct.
It's right in motion. The emails have gone out, the request has gone out, and we're waiting to hear back from Irene Hollack on when she can do the meeting.
All right.
And LaBella will be part of that meeting. It's not that complex.
In addition to Tom and those on the board who requested to be present?
Yes, included in that. That was what was brought up in the October meeting, and that was already set into motion. No, it's obviously something going on.
What's your question, Doug?
My question is, I received your email about the meeting at 11 o'clock Friday, and I was just wondering what the agenda is. Is there going to be new information that they're putting out? Or because earlier in this report you said that plans are finalized, so I'm just wondering what the agenda, the purpose of the meeting is. I can't figure out.
It's exactly the same presentation that was given at the October meeting. It's the final. But it's different people that will be at that 11 o'clock. So
yeah.
County elected officials, New York State, all of the people that need to actually see those finals.
Okay, so it's not gonna be for giving input or anything else?
There'll be discussion.
Yeah.
You know, there can obviously always, always discussion, and then the open house starts from 2 o'clock until 7.
And that's for the general public?
2 o'clock to 7 is the community open house, final.
Okay, but, so I was invited to one for officials?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was trying to figure out.
Your deputy mayor, I knew about the meeting, we need to have a, you know, so it's the last time that we will have, the opportunity to have a presentation by Lynn Rice. And, so county, state officials needed to come to that meeting to launch the project. So the one way to do that is to have Lynn come in and talk and do a presentation. That's what that 11 o'clock is.
Okay.
RSVP invitation.
Yeah, and you already secured me a seat, so I just was trying to understand what it was about. Cause, you know, plans are finalized. I wasn't there at the October meeting, so I'll see it then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that would be great. I think again, you know, it was, I'm gonna read the email, but I think it was pretty clear what that was, but.
I didn't get it. I didn't get what it was, no.
You didn't?
No.
Okay.
Very.
It does sometimes, but, okay, I got it now.
Tom?
Okay.
Yeah, so, Climate Smart, community is, moving ahead with a few things now. So tomorrow, we're going to have the presentation from Lindsay Strelo-Howay from Cornell. This is on the, preparedness, and resiliency adaptation, in light of, climate change and the various perils that we're facing. They seem to be increasing on a daily basis. We have, now have fires, air quality, flash flooding, heat waves, lack of communications, water and sewer services. So she's been working very diligently for the past few months, putting this all together. And tomorrow is the presentation. It was to be to Doug and Jason, but looks like Doug may have a conflict. Doug, does it matter if we put it at the beginning of the meeting or the end? Because it's going to be here. We're meeting in.
Brian and I, he's got this meeting going on at the same time we're going to have to be interviewing these, building inspectors.
Yeah.
How do you want to handle the conflict?
At 4 o'clock is the meeting?
There's one at 5, one at 4 and one at 5.
And they're both going to be here in this, in the office?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they can have the back.
We figured you guys would do the.
Yeah, we'll come in here and get our
series. Okay, so I'm going to be interviewing candidates.
Okay.
And Brian will be with me.
So maybe
so
later?
Brian says we'll have the front, and you guys can have the back.
Well, just said the opposite today,
yeah.
So I
did you
just
say
need
that?
To know.
I said you guys do the interviews back here.
I think that
whatever,
either way, it doesn't.
We'll figure that out.
So, but it sounds like from what Doug's saying, since the interview's at 5, if you backload it, there's a possibility Doug will be able to be there. If you put it later in the meeting.
Right, that was
we
the
usually interview for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So a quarter to 6, I'll be free.
Would you mind jumping right in then to this other thing, or?
I don't care, you're going to have dinner for me, right?
So should I also come at 6:15?
Yeah, I could kind of schedule
it
that way.
If it's going to be changed.
Yeah.
It's just because your guys' input is really important on this. And this is the information that part of this will be going into the water bill. That's the plan. I don't know, it's up to you. I mean, Jason, if you think you'll know what Doug's input would be, I mean, that can work also. And you said you would fill him in, so.
Yeah, you can do your comments. I'll send you everything. I'll give you everything. You can read my comments. Comment on those.
Cool.
We'll figure it out, I'm sure.
All right, okay.
I'll be there.
Great.
So.
Yeah, okay. So then for this building, the decarbonization study, I'm assuming we do have the signed contract for that, or that's coming up? Hope that gets voted on tonight.
I wasn't, you told me you guys were discussing it, and then I never heard anything else, so I wasn't. I can add it, but it's not right now.
Isn't it on, it's on a motion.
Well, there's
oh, that's
the
letters
people,
of commitment,
right.
It's not the contract.
Right.
We also need the contract signed.
Yeah, so it's all
okay. Yeah, no, last I knew you guys were discussing it at your next meeting, because mine wasn't, I can go grab it though, so we can do the motion tonight.
We can do the motion tonight.
Oh, that would be great, yeah.
Yeah, that's, I just.
Because it's all like, it's all related to the same thing. Great, okay. So that will move along, and that's now with something called New Energy World. That's Matt Harrison. It's a new company of his. He's the same person, though, who did the energy audit on the building, so he's very familiar with the building. And he's also going to be working with, as a sub, with John Larcher of Northeast Projects. John Larcher is a building envelope specialist, and Aronson is a building systems specialist. So I think the two together will be a combination. So then this is being paid for by the grant we've already received, both the private grant from the Hudson Valley Climate Action Group and NYSERDA. The NYSERDA grant, however, there's two pieces of it, and that's still being negotiated, and it turns out that parts of that gets reimbursed once you've proven that you've paid the consultant in full. So that might be a situation where you've got to put out a couple of $1,000 to pay the consultant, and then that gets submitted to NYSERDA. But they have a pretty quick turnaround. I've worked with them before. They've turned that around in about a month. So just so you know that that's the situation for the final payment. For solar panel installation, we've been working, we've got a proposal from Buy Solar Local, and they've done pretty extensive proposal, both for the village hall and the sewage treatment plant. They're both running just over $100,000 for each one, but then there's incentives, and that of course doesn't count any grant money that can come in for both of these. So we're still discussing that. We'll be discussing that in the meeting tomorrow. After the discussion with the group, we can turn that over. Those proposals to the village for your review. electric charging station. We think this one is still working, but we're working specifically on getting a fast charger because these level two chargers will phase out. And we're almost at, anecdotally, we're almost at that point now. People don't want to wait overnight to charge, so we've just begun to work with Cumberland Farms for a possible public-private partnership to do a fast electric charging station at that location. According to the mapping done by the county, they have grid capacity there, they have space, but it's interesting working with them. I don't know if you all know. It's not the Greek guy in Massachusetts who owns it anymore. It's a international conglomerate working out of operating out of London. But we are just beginning to do initial letters to them, and they claim they have a sustainability. They want to incorporate that into their business plan. So we're hoping they may be open to this idea. So, and the public-private partnership is, we're selling it that they will get certain benefits from the public side if they agree to that kind of thing. And what it would be was the village will be involved and hopefully involved in the income once it finally goes in. But this is at the very early stages, so let's see how it goes. And I think that's it. It's just I want to bring it up tomorrow when Lindsay is presenting this work. because of the drought, is there going to be any statement about the border? I'm assuming the water level and the Philmont supply is going down. It's certainly not going up.
We don't have any problem with water.
No problem. Okay. All right. So there won't be any kind of statement of water restrictions. Okay. All right.
Not at all.
Great. That's good to hear. Okay. That's it.
Is there a comprehensive plan update?
Yes. After some delays, we had a meeting on October 28th. Much of that meeting focused on a review of the last comprehensive plan and what continues to apply and what is no longer relevant. Interestingly, even though a number of things were accomplished or tended to, they still, in some form, continue to be valid even now. The next comprehensive plan update committee meeting is scheduled for Thursday, November 21st. We expect to be reviewing some of the more detailed draft items for a public community input meeting on Tuesday, December 10th. We also have the input from the housing study, which after the public hearing input, we will also incorporate.
Okay, thank you. Mayor's report. Well, I've been at several meetings this month with Sally and interviews with Doug. We have a couple more tomorrow night. And I've been in contact with Ed Harkin for the lift station and the fire pumps. Him and I and Cliff are getting a plan together to get some work done up there. Since he's done with Novipac now, he can move over to us. Other than that, it's been a quiet month.
Well, we reviewed the applicants for the building inspector, and like you said, we're working on the interviews, trying to find the best person. Like Rain said, I looked at the library lights and tried to give her a little guidance on what to do, get that parking lot brighter. Brian and I both attended the quarterly grants and funding meeting with all those departments. Went to the workshop meeting, checked properties, tried to work on Barbara's issue with KeyBank, and just now we met with, Brian and I met with Ty and Bond. We're working on natural hazards and the risk and management part of the program with the county. And I worked on the big truck day, and we should also thank Jason, who was able to arrange a few extra trucks.
Indeed.
And he was there having a good time, and Skip was there. He helped get some more trucks there, and including his own. And he got a free lunch out of it. Everything, right, Skip? It's a good
grilled
day.
No, hot dogs and mac and cheese.
Nope, mac and cheese and hot dogs.
Somehow I ended up in the kitchen, and that's not my thing, but I made it through.
You served the hot dogs upside down, but that's all right.
Well, did you run out of hot dogs? You run out? No, but I got rid of almost all of them.
Yeah.
We served
yeah.
42 hot dogs.
They don't
I can't.
And three
with mustaches. You
a
have
big crock of mac and cheese.
Mustard.
Good event.
Bottle of water and everything. Yeah,
a lot of
hot dogs. It was a good event.
Berry, the mustard.
I'm glad everybody had fun. That was a good thing that they did up there.
Did.
Cool. That was good.
Yep.
Jason?
Nothing to report. Just usual business.
Skip?
Yeah, like Doug was saying, we had a lot of fun up with the kids. They seemed to got a big charge out of that. Hopefully next year we'll get more trucks there.
Yeah.
And I can't believe how much equipment was used up there. They were all over like they've never seen a playground before. And everybody keeps saying instead of building a piece of property or something that the village owns, get another playground. Nobody ever goes to them. They don't have cell phones. They don't have handheld units, and so it was cool. It was
oh,
a good day.
I wish I was there.
Yep, nope, that was fun. And I'm looking forward to the next one. Sidewalks, we ran out of money. We're all done as far as we're going to do this year. Next year, looks like we're gonna continue down Maple Avenue. Hopefully next year, Maple Avenue is gonna be blacktopped. Get rid of all the bumps and potholes and so that's about all I got. Looking forward to Thanksgiving.
Yeah, me too. 4 days off.
Yep.
So is Lee, I'm no longer.
He's leaving 31st of November or December. Deborah?
I too, I'm sorry, I missed the big trucks day or whatever. I really wanted to bring my granddaughter. I spent a lot of this month working on the housing study. Appreciate all the good feedback we got from everyone. And still waiting, still gonna need to get your feedback, Skip. And I also did a lot with the Climate Smart and updates on the website. And I think I haven't announced, I think this happened after the last board meeting. We had a big press release, and because Philmon is now a bronze certified Climate Smart community, and that means we've taken a lot of significant actions. And I just want to say, like, kudos to Tom, who's just doing a great job, and our core Climate Smart team, which is Michael Sesserman and Arthur and Sarah King and Sebastian Schinkel and Susan Michie, and Tom and I have been working really hard, and we got that, and we also qualified for a large grant. Yeah, really great progress, really great work being done there. That's what I got.
Fire department.
Fire department, 14 calls for the month, including two fires, so actually three, I guess. There's one on Summit Street, the extension, which I wasn't there for. We had a vehicle fire, 53 Main Street, that extended into the garage, which was a pretty serious situation because it's so dry. We thought it was going to start a wildfire, but it didn't. And then we also had a brush fire behind 192 Main Street, Mutual Aid with Mellonville, which was a great stop. There were some kids lighting fireworks off, presumably in the back, that fire. And then we also had the Halloween parade, which was great. I love doing that. Thank you for help, Vern. I don't know if you were there. Were you there?
I got there afterwards. But
yeah. No, it's great. It's cool. We're shut down the road. Everyone gets all mad. It's just a bunch of kids in costumes. What are you going to get mad about? So that was great. And then the only thing else I want to mention is, I don't know, the other trustees, did you see a copy of this letter? Did you guys get this, Skip and Deborah? And the letter from the Philmont Fire Company about the fire district?
Yes.
So, you know, it says this was written October 4th. We didn't receive it till the day before, a Friday before a holiday, last Friday, and the meeting's today. So we haven't had time to move on this. We need to discuss this. So I'm going to let the fire department know. Sorry.
We know it's the state of October 4th. But the letter says that they approved it October 18th.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, there's more. Yeah. So it didn't come out before. So much like the fire department. Yeah, they need to get their ducks in a row if they're going to be serious about this, because I don't know if we have enough information to write a letter to Clover, Kendall Hills, so I'm gonna let them know on this Friday that we're gonna extend this, and we'll let them know next month. Other than that, that's it. The fire department.
Correspondence list is on the table, and hard copies are in the office. Motions and resolutions.
Motion to enforce the water turnoff law and take action against delinquent water users.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to authorize the mayor to sign the annual LOSAP agreement with Penflex.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to reimburse Douglas Cropper in the amount of $64.25 for supplies for Community Center Cup Day.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
That's all it costs to theater.
Carried.
That's cheap.
Yeah. Motion to reimburse Thomas Pano in the amount of $60 for training at Columbia Green Community College.
Motion. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to declare that Mayor Johnson has conducted the required examination of the Village of Philmont Justice Court records for fiscal year 2023 to 2024.
Motion.
Second.
Huh.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to appoint Faith Benson as a member of the Village of Philmont Library Board of Trustees with a term to expire September
30th,
2029. Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to accept with regret Elizabeth Angelo's resignation as court clerk effective November 1st, 2024.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion to allow the mayor to sign the letters of commitment for the NYSERDA grants.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to allow the mayor to sign the contract with Next Energy World, Next Energy World LLC for the Village Hall decarbonation study.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. I'll finish the new business. Nobody's got anything. I'm we're gonna need everybody to stand. We lost a valuable member of the community, Eileen Morris. And Tyler Kluth. Can we get a moment of silence for each of them, please? Need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Good night, Philmont.